Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, and I welcome you to my podcast, A Story and a Song. And I was reading the Torah portion this week and discovered that Rosh Chodesh, the biblical New Year, which is coming up in a few days, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is actually the Bible's New Year. So I thought, well, in the Ancient of Days, they used to have a calendar to denote all of these Jewish historical events, which were numbered. I saw this in the commentary of the Chumash. And it was known in the Ancient of Times as a time of renewal. And it was a feast which was awarded to the women because the women did not give their jewelry to make the golden calf. So God honored the women by giving them this holiday. And how do we celebrate it today? How do you celebrate it today? Well, I dreamed of a way to celebrate it today, and I'd like to share it. If this is something that interests you, I will be back after this brief message. Okay, so I am back. This is Deborah Cohen, and technical difficulties happen sometimes, and we just go with the flow of things. So if you are watching, again, this is Deborah Cohen, and I want to talk to the women, but also to the men. But the women are responsible for creating meaningful events for Rosh Chodesh, and specifically starting with Nisan, which is coming up, if I look at my calendar, April 8th, I believe, in the evening, or the 9th. Actually, April 9th is Nisan 1, N-I-S-A-N. And so, you know, it's a way to get together and pursue God in a higher plane, meaning connecting with, wooing in the bride of Shabbat. Who is that? The Shekhinah. Are you even familiar with the word? Are you familiar with the feminine aspect of God? This is something to get excited about. And we can not only renew ourselves on the new moon, but also the family of God. Your kalal, your congregation, have circles, prayer circles for Rosh Chodesh. And so this is something that has come into my mind even now as we speak. So let me share with you first something about a definition of Rosh Chodesh, because we'll start at the beginning for people that want to have these Rosh Chodesh circles at their congregation or home. This is a book by Arthur Green. I'm just going to share page 252 as an introduction for those of you who don't know what Rosh Chodesh is. It's the beginning of the Hebrew month. It is celebrated for either 1 or 2 days, depending on calendrical calculations. The Hebrew calendar being a lunar one Rosh Chodesh is the day or days when the first new moon appears. So we're talking about that little tiny crescent sliver. Ah, yes. Now, I mean, I've looked at the moon and never heard anything about this in any previous churches, synagogues, Baha'i faith, whatever I went to, Islam even. Never heard anything about this. But it makes perfect sense that the Hebrew calendar, it marks all of this history of the Jews. And if you don't even use the lunar calendar, then you miss so much. Not only Jews, but other people don't know about Jewish history because we don't use the calendar, which denotes all of these events. So let's bring back Rosh Chodesh. The middle of the month, the date when several festivals occurs, is the day of the full moon. Okay, but the new moon is the tiny sliver, because that's when she comes back. I'll call the moon a she, because some people associate the moon with the Shekhinah. And I'll read that later if we have time about the truth of the Shekhinah. In Bible times, Rosh Chodesh was celebrated as a holiday. That's what I'm talking about. Ladies, let's bring this holiday back into your congregation. It was celebrated as a time of sacred assembly and special sacrificial rites. Well, of course, we don't have a temple today, so we don't do the sacrificial rites. But today, a sacrifice is praise. And how many people use their soul voice to sing to God without making excuses about why you don't sing? So these are still reflected in the liturgy for Rosh Chodesh, but any real sense of celebration of the day has been lost. The new moon did, however, come to be known as a time for women to express their piety, perhaps because of the long-standing feminine symbolic association with the moon and the lunar cycle. And unfortunately, the only thing I've ever heard in my whole life about the association of the moon with women is that women tend to be a little crazier during the full moon because of the pull of gravity or whatever. I don't know. Have you heard that? You can put it in the chat. I think I have YouTube chat open, but I don't see Instagram chat, unfortunately. Okay, so it has thus become traditional for unusually pious women to avoid work on this day. Another reason to know about this festive biblical holiday, as much as they would on any festival. Okay, I still work, but things will change as we grow. And don't you know that we're here to learn until we take our last breath? So people, each and every one of us, don't know it all. That is one of the things that makes it so exciting about learning and living. In recent years, feminist circles have adopted Rosh Chodesh as a time for special meetings and women's celebrations. Are you listening? If you're listening as a woman, Listen on. The Kabbalists view the new moon as a time of relief from danger. The month diminishing of the moon, the monthly diminishing of the moon, until it finally comes out of sight. Now, let me read that again. I'm getting so excited, I'm running ahead of myself. Excuse me, please. Okay. The monthly diminishing of the moon until it is finally out of sight recalls an ancient legend about God punishing the moon because she wanted to rule equally with the sun. Sounds like a child's book to me. The moon is taken to be the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah. The reason I sing is because I have a spiritual encounter every time I do with the Shekhinah. I don't feel the presence of the Shekhinah in a performance. That's a different thing. Entertaining people is, you may or may not still have a place with the Shekhinah, but performing becomes more about paying attention to the people that are listening in the audience than it does to singing to God. There's a big difference, big difference. And the voice that sings to God is different from the performing voice as well. Okay. The moon is taken to be Shekhinah, and her disappearance reflects her subjugation to the forces of evil. a condition that God is said to regret and mourn. The moon's reappearance at Rosh Chodesh is thus a time for rejoicing and hope for that day when she will no longer be diminished. So that's why I'm so happy, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is coming up. The first of Nisan is Tuesday, April 9th. So mark your solar mark your solar calendar if you don't know that the lunar festival of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Tuesday, April 9th. Okay. Redemption will mean that Shekhinah will no longer vanish from view, and that God's presence will be felt and seen throughout the universe. And that means for all peoples, all nations, when God comes in the end times, whoever you believe your God to be, we shall all see one day who is right. Okay. All right. So let me go on a little bit more with information. If you're listening and you're interested in the Jewish aspects of the Rosh Chodesh, Nisan 1 is also known as Rosh Chodeshim, meaning the beginning of months, because this month in the Bible is actually New Year's Day, not January 1st. January 1st or December 31st is New Year's for the secular world. But in the Bible, if you are a Bible student, you need to know, whether you're a Jew or a Christian, that the new year is Nisan 1. Nisan is the name of the Jewish month. Unfortunately, I think after the destruction of the temple, the Jews took the Babylonian names for their calendar. But in the very beginning, when the calendar, the Jewish calendar, was created, the Bible calendar had numbers. There were no names for the months. It was just numbers. But what happens when you live in a place where you're not with your own people and culture is you start to assimilate the ways of the country that you're living in. So all of a sudden, the Jewish calendar has secular names. So it's called Nisan. But at one time, this would have had the name for the calendar number 1 in Hebrew. Okay? Nisan 1 lies supreme in relation to other new moons because it is the first. Okay, this is the first new year. It is the new moon of new moons, since all other new moons are traced from it. Nisan 1 is the biblical New Year's holy day, marking the beginning of the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. So again, like I was saying, if you don't honor the Jewish calendar, you lose the Jewish history of Israel. Another reason to have a Jewish calendar, a lunar calendar. It is also the first month used for counting the festivals of the Hebrew biblical calendar. And I'm going to read an excerpt from Exodus 12. But before I do that, I need to say a prayer before I read the Torah. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months." This is God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Let me repeat that in case you didn't catch it. Hashem spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, quote, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you," end quote, says God. The first commandment given to Israel as a nation before they left Egypt was to establish the biblical calendar by counting the beginning of months, which is why the months were named after numbers, not names, starting with the first month of Nisan, which is the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon for Nisan 1. I'm going to keep saying it because some of us are hearing this for the first time. April 9th is the first day of the new year. Why is this important? Because God instructed us to honor this feast. And it's not just for the Jews. I'm hearing some people saying, well, you know, the Torah is for the Jews and we don't need the Jews. I mean, I know some people are saying that, but that's not what I meant. We don't need the Jewish calendar because it's for the Jews. Okay, that's not true. That's totally wrong, because the Christian Bible was started by the Jews, a sect of Judaism, and their rabbi, J.C., was a Jew. So, yes, you do need to follow the Jewish calendar as well. Okay? Now, starting with the first month of Nisan, until then the calendar was still in God's hands, as he hadn't yet revealed it to them. During this time, the calendar fell into the hands of the Israelite nation. This is history, Jewish history. If the Jews lost the ability to trace Nisan 1, then the ability to track the appointed times would be lost, jeopardizing even the tracking of the holy festivals and holy days. The Hebrew biblical calendar is dependent on the appearance of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Nisan 1, April 9th, 2024. God appointed Nisan 1 as the beginning of spring, which inaugurates the biblical calendar. The following are the months of the Hebrew calendar. Now remember, they used to have numbers, the calendar, in the Ancient of Days, so I'll say the first calendar, month 1, was Nisan, also called Abib. And the names are Babylonian, they're not Hebrew. 2, Iyar. The month of 3, Sivan. 4, Tammuz. 5, Av. 6, Elul. 7, Tishrei. 8, Chesvan. 9, Kislev. 10, Tevet. 11, Shavat. 12, Adar. And this year we had a double Adar because of the leap year. So there's Adar 2 as well. Now the name of Nisan was not the original name for the first month, as I've been saying. After the Babylonian exile, the name came upon them according to the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 7, and Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 1. Initially, the days of the months were known according to the sequence of their order numerically, just as the days of the week were known as the first day, the second day, and so on. They weren't known as Sunday, Monday, which are also pagan terms, pagan names that we take on when we are in the diaspora, living amongst other nations. As we are, there are many Jews that have not been able to go back home to Israel, especially now because of the war. So we live like the people live, to a degree, in the land that we're in, even though we are strangers in the land. Even myself, as a stranger, I'm a stranger in the United States, even though I was born here. But my homeland, my home country, is Israel. And someday I hope to be able to live there. Go back home. Okay. The arrival of Rosh Chodesh Nisan serves as an indicator that Passover, one of the pilgrimage feasts mentioned in Deuteronomy 16:16, is close. So now we're getting excited with the Hebrew calendar for Pesach, Passover. We celebrate Passover on the 14th of Nisan, according to the book of Leviticus 23:5, the 14th of Nisan. Let's see when that is. It's 12, 30. That is the 22nd of April, 2024, the fast of the firstborn Erev Pesach. And Pesach 1 is actually April 23rd. The command to sanctify Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first new moon as given to Israel in Exodus 12, verse 1, shows the need to observe all new moons and holy days as revealed in the Torah. And again, the Christians will say, at least most of them that I've heard, that they don't follow the Torah because it's been fulfilled. That's not true, because their rabbi was Jewish. He honored the Torah. And we don't eliminate these feasts because God said they're eternally. They're forever. They're forever. So no person or being changes the written word of the Torah. The celebration of Rosh Chodesh Nisan honors God as the creator, master, and controller of all time. Jewish tradition celebrates two main New Years, which makes it really confusing to me. Nisan 1, which I'm talking about today, and Tishrei 1. On Tishrei 1, God created the natural order, while in Nisan 1, he began the supernatural recreation. Hence why we start the celebration of the festivals in Nisan. Nisan 1 is the biblical and truthful New Year, unlike January 1st in the secular Gregorian calendar. It's noteworthy that the Julian calendar, which preceded the Gregorian calendar, celebrated the New Year around March/April when Nisan falls. Now, isn't that interesting? The Julian calendar honored the Jewish calendar, but then it was changed to the Gregorian calendar, which is what we use now in the United States. Interestingly, the tabernacle, the temporary temple, was completed and inaugurated on Nisan 1. Now that just blows my socks off. I mean, amazing. And it's written in Exodus 42, if you don't believe me. Aaron and his sons were anointed and washed to serve in the priesthood. The children of Israel began to bring their offerings to the priests from that day. So what I'm saying about Nisan 1, about the calendar, about Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, the moon of moons is coming up. And for us women that want to create these gatherings and honor God with a feast, just a party or a meeting at home, or ask your leaders if you can have a certain night or day of the week in the congregation to gather amongst your people and study more about all of this. So before I share with you, by the way, did you know that every month the Jews celebrate Rosh Chodesh with the reading of Psalm 104? How many of you actually even do that anymore? It's the Psalm 104 is printed in my siddur, but I don't hear anybody in any congregation I've been in recite Psalm 104 together to honor the new moon. We need to bring these things back because we love God, don't we? We love God. We want to do what pleases him. And so, you know, we find all these things that got lost over time and we bring them back because God says so. I mean, why not? Who wants to please God today? Raise your hand. I do. You can put it in the chat. I do, yes. And even if you don't believe in God, it's still wonderful to get together with your people and celebrate and learn. So let me close before I'm going to share my recording of Psalm 104 so you can actually, if you've never heard it before, I've got the lyrics printed on the video so you can ask God to show you what you could do to celebrate and make the new moon festival more significant to yourself and to others. The Shekhinah. Why? Because if you're pursuing a spiritual walk, which again, many people that I am around, they don't want to hear anything about spiritual stuff because they think it's woo-woo stuff. Ooh, don't talk to me about that woo-woo. I'm like, but don't you know that we're a physical being with a spirit inside? Don't you know that what you're looking at is my physical self? But inside of me, God sees the spirit of us, the spirit which the Shekhinah communicates with. Let me tell you about the Shekhinah. There are women libbers out there that protest because God is written as a he, so they have to go out and make their own feminine version of the Bible so they can feel equal. But let me tell you, you don't need to do that because there is a feminine aspect of our Creator, the Shekhinah, that is already written in there, but she got buried somewhere with all the doctrines of men. So let's resurrect the Shekhinah. There are meetings called Shekhinah Rising. Yes, Here it is. This is, again, from Arthur Green, page 33. Shekhinah is the indwelling presence of God in this world. It is the divinity we may experience when enthralled by the beauties of nature, in deep encounter with another human being, with their soul, neshama, or alone in moments of stillness, whenever the heart is open. Is your heart open? Judaism claims that this encounter may also take place in the context of sacred study. Two who are together and study Torah, the Shekhinah abides in their midst. And that it is also has a moral dimension. Shekhinah is to be found in human acts of justice and compassion. Shekhinah is the later term that replaces the biblical word kavod, or K-E-V-O-D, the glory of God, kavod. The synonym for kavod is Shekhinah. I know a lot of Christians still call the Shekhinah glory. It becomes a mystical, out there kind of, whoa. Some people say they see sparkling gold in the glory. Well, I've never seen it. I'm not knocking it because, you know, God still does miracles. But you're not talking about it, the glory. You're talking about her, the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah. It is never seen as a separate deity or part of God who is one, echad, and indivisible. Shekhinah is God insofar as God is manifest in this world, which is unfortunately some people call the manifestation an it. Shekhinah has a special attachment to the temple site in Jerusalem. It is said that the divine presence, when wandering into exile with Israel, never fully departed from the remaining western wall, the Kotel Ma'aravi. Nevertheless, wherever Israel was exiled, the Shekhinah was exiled with them. So you don't have to go to Israel to be with the Shekhinah. She is everywhere. The presence of God may be revealed and embraced anywhere in the world. One more paragraph. Kabbalistic tradition sees Shekhinah as the 10th of the Sephirot, the link between the hidden God and lower worlds. Now we're getting really deep, but this is valid. In Kabbalistic writings, especially those stemming from the Zohar, which is a wonderful book I recommend, Shekhinah is described primarily in feminine terms as the bride of the Blessed Holy One and the queen of the universe. Their sacred marital union, which is in fact a reunion since they are originally one, becomes the goal of all religious life. As Kabbalists perform the commandments, they dedicate their actions to the union of the Blessed Holy One and His Shekhinah, in love and in fear, in the name of all Israel. The reunion of male, M-A-L-E, and female, F-E-M-A-L-E, within the Godhead is understood as the restoration of harmony to the entire universe, allowing the flow of divine presence to become fully manifest throughout the world. So can you see now that why it's important to have these spiritual meetings for Rosh Chodesh every month to renew the reunion of the Shekhinah with the Godhead, the Holy One, our Creator? Yes, not as a separate entity, as one, Echad. Just like there are parts of us, the physical part of ourselves, the spiritual part of ourselves. That's an analogy, but not the same. But we do have the sparks of God within us. And when we sing to God with the Shekhinah, we are illumined. We become awakened to the spiritual realm of who we are. The soul within each one of us has a voice that wants to sing. And some of us have bought the lie that we don't have a voice, we cannot sing, you don't want to hear me, you know, whatever, get the hook. That's the physical part of who you are. It's not your soul song. Everyone has a built-in soul song compartment in there, and you have to activate it. But If you don't know anything about it and you have no place to practice the singing of your soul, then it's dormant, shrunken, and you are more physical than spiritual. Out of balance. It's not your fault. Everybody, this is why I'm excited about these new moon meetings. Ladies, I hope you heard the whole thing. If you didn't, watch the replay from the beginning. But Where? Either on my YouTube channel, the handle is at Jewish Rock. Jewish Rock Music, I think. I get that mixed up with Jewish Rock Radio. Jewish Rock Music. And on Instagram, well, it's live on Instagram, but I think that's where it's in the archive. Sorry, I just switched. I used to be Twitch, but I switched, and now I'm YouTube and IG. So anyway, okay, so let's listen to Psalm 104. And this is my recording, but I want you to pay attention to the words and see if you can maybe close your eyes in your mental TV and imagine after what you just heard, what would be the picture of you honoring Nisan 1, the biblical new year, and subsequent lunar months for God, to please God. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you will share this with somebody, and that I'll see you again next week at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time for a story and a song.
The hill.